You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast, where we've got two Irish fixtures from Leopardstown and Limerick. We'll be focusing in on the action on the level at Leopardstown on this edition. Sam Norris here in the studio, and joining me on the line as ever is Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
How are you today, sir?
Yeah, pretty good, in fact, yeah.
Good.
Pretty good, yeah. Nice day today, isn't it, everywhere? So
it is, yeah.
If you're not watching, if you're not actually sort of live at the races today, then you can sort of like bask in the garden and listen to William Hill Radio.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it doesn't look a bad card at all at Leopardstown. Plenty of runners for Aidan O'Brien. Are there any potential Derby winners in the lineup?
I wouldn't say Derby winners, but I think there might be a Derby contender in the shape of Idaho, perhaps. Or maybe Tim Easy, one of those two. Of course, the Derry Stand has had a rich tradition over the years, hasn't it, of supplying Epsom with one or two classic winners. But yeah, this year's race perhaps doesn't quite lack the absolute sort of marquee name that we're actually waiting for at the moment. So one or two clues, but only small ones.
Yeah, and that's probably fair to say. We'll get on to that race in due course then, but we begin with the 155, which is the curtain raiser today at Leopardstown. A 6-furlong maiden for us to get stuck in here. A maximum field of 13 go for this. Lundy is the 5-6 market leader this morning. 5-2 about Medicine Jack. Pronounced is 10-1. It's 10-1 about Dapper Man and 20-1 bar those four. Lundy, second on debut at Dundalk, and in. That looks the obvious pick of the form of these runners.
It does, yeah. I mean, early season two-year-old form counts for quite a lot, particularly if your horse has run up to a decent standard. And that's exactly what Lundy did on his debut in quite a decent race at Dundalk behind Stabber Companion and well-backed Carvaggio, who was the talk of the town that particular night and obviously got the job done in no uncertain terms. But there was lots of encouragement to take out of Aidan O'Brien's charges running second, finishing very strongly from the back of the field without being unduly punished. They certainly didn't want it to be beating Carvaggio, very similar to what happened at Chester this week with US Army Ranger. Yeah, and all intents and purposes, it should be good enough to win this. But there are one or two dangerous floaters, perhaps, just to put the wind at one or two odds-on backers. Medicine Jack obviously comes from an informed stable. Their two-year-olds are going through a rich vein of form at the moment. That's obviously Jer Lyons, and there's been a little bit of money for that. And I know that the Adrian Keatley stable, I think, quite a bit of Cozy Club. Albeit he's been posted with an absolute coffin box draw in trap 13 on his second start following a good encouraging run in the opening two-year-old race of the flat season in Ireland at the Curra, a race which, of course, has worked out really well. I think with experience, he might just be good enough to overcome that draw and maybe get into the frame. But whether he's good enough to beat the likes of Lundy and Medicine Jack is obviously out to question. So therefore, I probably would stick with Lundy on this occasion because he's form at Dundalk and the time figure suggests that he's going to be quite difficult to beat.
Lundy then, the selection in the 155. We move on to race number two now from Leopardstown, which is the 225. This is the Amethyst Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile, where Custom Cut heads the betting at 13-8, followed in by Cougar Mountain, who is 7-2, 6-1 for Alfonso. Struthen is 8-1. It's double-figure prices for the rest of them. Eight runners line up for this one, Andy, and Custom Cut taking a fair bit out of the market for David O'Meara and Danny Tudhope.
Yeah, justifiably so. The Amara team is just beginning to kick into top gear. Now, obviously, they've had a change of gallops at home, and that's just probably taken a while to cut its teeth with one or two of the individuals who've looked as though they've needed a run. But there were good signs yesterday. Obviously, So Beloved won the big race at Haydock. And Custom Cut, one of their star performers, gets a chance to strut his stuff at a track which really does play into his strengths. He's got a real good sharp burst and a good turn of foot, which usually lasts around about 2 or 3 furlongs. And that's exactly what you need here at Leopardstown. The race is often developing the home straight here after a bit of a meander down the back straight. It's only really when they turn and head for home and hit the climb to the finish that the horses start quickening, and that's why Custom Cut has got such a good record here. He's managed to win twice on his four visits, twice actually in the Boomerang Stakes in later on in the season, so that's obviously another target later on in the year. But he has run well in this race back in 2013 when with Old Connections, when he finished second to Duntle. So it's not as if he's unfamiliar with his surroundings with this particular heat. He has got to get a little bit of weight away because of his penalty to some of one or two others, and they are a decent bunch, particularly the three who are down at the bottom. I think if Custom Cut is going to have his collar felt, for want of a better word, it might well come from Alphonsus from the John Ox stable. I thought it was a really encouraging run on his seasonal reappearance on the all-weather at Dundalk behind Washington DC. You could argue that form was let down to a degree by the Aidan O'Brien horse when he went to Ascot the other day, but I just didn't think he handled the track more than anything else, so I wouldn't hold that against him. But the time figure suggests that race is quite good at Dundalk, so I do think Alphonsus ran about 7-1, 8-1 this morning. Could be the each-way call, but Custom Cut, following a couple of nice outings this season, third to Bolado and obviously four to Marsoub in group company, that level of form should be good enough to seem very, very difficult to beat here. So just a two to consider there, Custom Cut and Alphonsus.
OK, Andy's thoughts in the 2:25 race. We move on to the 3 o'clock now, which is another Group 3. This is a 1,000 guineas trial for the fillies over a mile. And Now or Never is your market leader this morning at 6-4. 3-1 about Radiantly. Emergent is 13-2. It's 7-1 for Kind of Magic. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the Jim Bolger horse, but that is 7-1. And then it's 10-1 about Misty Mile. What do you like of these fillies, Andy?
Yeah, Shamshocked, for those that have a...
Thank you very much.
A no Irish kind of background. Neither have I, but I've listened to Desi call it home a few times, so I've got a little bit of a head start with most punters there. But
yeah,
getting on to the business end of the race, I do think the form of the Guineas trial is the one to concentrate on, the 1,000 guineas, of course, the race at Jet Setting 1 back in April. Good time figure, that race. Really, really good gallop, Adrian Keatley's went. And you could see why they supplemented her for the 1,000 guineas in, obviously, this country. But unfortunately, the ground went against that... star filly, and she couldn't be as competitive with Connections, who stumped at the 30 grand would have liked. But back in second that day was Now or Never, and third was Radiantly, and I think that is the two to concentrate on here. Obviously Alice Springs was third in that trial. She went on to finish third in the English 1,000 guineas, obviously boosting the form and suggesting that speed figures was indeed correct. And if you're just going on pure weights and measures and where they finished and distances, then you'd expect Michael O'Callaghan's charge to finish ahead of Radiantly. Might not be quite as clear-cut as that, though, because they did get stretched out in an early stage at Leopard Sound that day, and Radiantly basically just didn't lose any more ground that she forfeited, obviously from a very slow start. Therefore, I do think, like I say, it'll be a bit more more less obvious than what people think. But I'll still go for Now or Never. Fallon's on board. I think the better ground will suit, and with a decent positive ride, hopefully she might just get the better of her old adversary in the 1,000 guineas trial.
Now or Never, then, the choice for Andy in the 3 o'clock. We move ahead to the 3:35 now, which is a Derby trial. Another Group 3 contest here over a mile and a quarter. Idaho heads affairs this morning at 15-8. Termizzi is 3-1, it's 9-2 for Shogun. Moonlight Magic is 5-1, and it's 10-1 or bigger prices for the rest of them. A lot of people here, Andy, will be very interested by the choice of Ryan Moore. He's gone for Shogun, but it's Idaho for Shamie Heffernan that the market is circling around.
Yeah, it is a little bit of an oddity, I must admit, because Ryan's ridden Idaho before, so I'm not really sure what the thinking is. The only thing I can think of is that they're expecting Idaho to win this race, and Shamie Heffernan will obviously have the continuity of ridden this horse in a trial before the Derby, because there's more than a fair chance that Ryan Moore will choose to ride one of the more star-stroke illustrious names, i.e. US Army Ranger. So I think that's the school of thought I'm coming from. It might not be correct, but that's the only thing I can come up with. I think we've got to look towards that Ballysack Stakes, really, for the likely winner here, and that comes in the shape of Idaho, who finished a really credible second to Harzand from the Dermot Weld Stable. Looks like he was going to win easily as well that day when he swept to the front with a smooth challenge 2 hours, only to get run out of it by a horse who'd got the previous experience of winning on heavy ground down in Cork the time before. And I just think that was the lack of match practice which counted against Aidan O'Brien's charge, notwithstanding the heavy ground, of course, which is enough to tame beasts on their first run of the season. But he has won on a quick service, which kind of like defies his action, because he does hit the ground very hard. He has got a bit of a roundy action, which would lend itself to a bit of juice in the ground. And with the rain overnight, he should indeed get the surface that he requires. It should be a beautiful terrain at the Dublin venue this afternoon. Can't really see Beacon Rock or Moonlight Magic turning the form around. And we've only really got to hope, if we back Idaho, that Tim Ersey isn't up to the standard which Dermot Well normally has in this race. His victory at Leopardstown on his only start in his career has worked out really well. Claudio Monteverdi and Alphonsus, they were fourth and sixth respectively, and they've both won good races since. So he obviously has got a chance of sorts here. But I'll go with Idaho. Now he's got the run under his belt and he's on a better surface. I think he should put his Derby credentials on the line.
Idaho then for Andy in that Derby trial. We move on to the 4.10 now. We've got a competitive handicap here, ran over 7 furlongs, and the market is headed this morning by the Moore Factor at 9-2. Wexford Opera is 11-2. It's 7-1 about Tribal Path. St. Brillet's Bay is 8-1. It's bigger prices for the rest of them. Plenty to sort out here, Andy. Who's on your mind for this one?
Well, I think the classiest horse and the one with the most ability is the Moore Factor. I don't think we've seen the best of this horse yet. I think there's more to come. He has got a real stiff handicap mark for his first pitch into this kind of level. But I think he could well be up to it. He obviously started off his career at Galway with a real eye-catching run when unconsidered behind Stab and Companion True Solitaire. And then we had to wait quite a while for his reappearance. And it came at the Curragh back in March. And he almost defied the impossible stall position of track one in an 18-runner field. And even though he got beat sort of 5 lengths and finished fourth, I actually upgraded his performance quite significantly, because for a large majority of that race, he was rowing against the tide and he actually looked like winning only to get tired late on. There's been multiple winners out that race. The time figure was good. The second's won. The fifth has won. Doc Sportillo. So he looked very, very good form. And he went down to Garen with a much better draw. And he lowered the colours of a horse called Pacadale from the Johnny Murta stable. It was a very warm order that day, and he absolutely buried him by 7.5 lengths in a very quick time. Now, Pacadale went on to finish third or fourth the other weekend in a group race, so he was up against a group performer that day. That means that I do think the Moore Factor is at least at listed level, hence the fact that he's got a rating of 97. He has, however, got a slightly tricky draw to overcome, but if anyone can achieve it, it'll be Pat Smullen. So he's the number one I'm concentrating on. Just looking towards one further down the list, at a much bigger price, Ploughboy, 20-1 with William Hill this morning. He ran a good deal better than his final finishing position suggested in a very competitive handicap at the Curragh last week. Although he finished down the field, he was literally cantering in behind the speed when he got stopped in his run several times, and the jockey just basically gave up on him and eased him up. But I think he's much, much better than that. And he has got some decent form in big 7 furlong handicaps, particularly when the ground's on the quick side. So do keep an eye on Ploughboy at a price, particularly from an informed stable. So there's the two to concentrate on in that viciously competitive handicap. The Moore Factor, the classy Moore Factor, and Ploughboy at a much bigger price.
OK, and his thoughts then on the 4.10. We go to the 4.40 now, which is another handicap over a mile and a half this time. Botany Bay is the market leader this morning at 4-1. It's 13-2 about Stuckador. Benkai is 8-1. Zebek 8-1. 8-1 for time for Mabel. That one has been backed in from 12s. Double figure prices for the rest. Again, a competitive looking heat here, Andy.
Yeah, not a race I've got a particularly strong view in. Wouldn't surprise me what won this race. Lots of horses having their seasonal reappearances. Quite a few have already had a run, but they've been on the all-weather surface at Dundalk. So where do we start here? I think Botany Bay is a very talented horse, and he should have won here last year, but this is his first run of the season, so maybe a watching brief is the best policy with him. You've got the likes of Avanti and Benke also likely to figure, given their back class. But I do quite like that race at Dundalk on the 8th of April. It was a race at Poitin 1, and regular podcasters will know that I do hold the winner of that race in some affection, and the time figure that she posted that day was enough to make even the sort of like sternest of clock watchers have a second look. Back and forth is time for Mabel, and that's the horse I'm going to go for here, who has seen a little bit of money for it this morning. Staying on very strongly down the outside of the field as well, considering it was a 33-1 shot. This horse ran much better than his odds suggested he would on that particular occasion. He's got some good form on the grass, and Edward O'Grady's horse are in good form. So double figure odds for time for Mabel, based on that really good run that Dundalk did today, look quite tempting.
OK, Andy, going for time for Mabel. There has been money for that one this morning as well. We move on to the final race on Leopardstown's card today. This is the 5.10. Another maiden here over a mile and a half. Cole Porter is your 7-4 favourite this morning. It's 7-2 about Munira. Sea of Mystery is 4-1. 7-1 for Raconteur. 7-1 Radar O'Reilly. 9-1 three-star general. And it's 50-1 bar those. Looks a few to consider here towards the front of the market, Andy.
Yeah, every time I watched Cole Porter last year, I always thought he was a little bit backward, a bit unfurnished, and he wasn't quite the finished article, even though he was always sent off a very warm order. It was always not the greatest surprise to me that he managed to get beat on a few occasions. Hopefully he'll come of age as a three-year-old and he'll develop along the lines that Connections would wish for. Whether you want to take a real skinny price about him here is obviously open to question. He wears the cheap pieces for a reason, and of course he's got the tongue tie on today to help him. But I quite like the chances here of Radar O'Reilly, who I thought ran a smashing race down in Garen the other day behind a very warm favourite from the Dermot Weld stable. There was a lot to like about the way Journal Lion's horse went about his business that day, and he got trapped on the inside as well when they swung wide into the home straight. It's very much a day where you needed to be down the middle of the track, and racing on that disadvantageous far rail didn't do him any favours. But I thought he plugged on quite nicely to fill the second berth. He just, as I said, just looked a little bit one pace late on. Therefore, I do think the step up to a mile and a half will suit him, and his breeding suggests that is very much the case as well. So a decent each-way price on offer for a horse who's already had a run and a good one well in a decent maiden. Radar O'Reilly is the each-way choice in the final race.
Radar O'Reilly then for Andy for the Jer Lions camp in that 5-10. Just remind us, please, then, Andy, one more time, your seven selections for the action today at Leopardstown.
Yeah, decent card today at Leopardstown. It's sure to be an informative one as well. We start off with Aidan O'Brien's two-year-old in the first race of Court the Iron debut in the shape of Lundy, who hopefully will justify his position in the market in the opener. Custom Cut and Alphonsus are the two to concentrate on in the Amethyst Stakes. In the big Darren Stand stud, 1,000 guineas trial. I'm going to go for the form of the previous trial here 28 days ago and go for Now or Never to hold Old Adversary radiantly at bay. In the 3:35, the Demonstrator Stud Derby trial, hopefully Aidan O'Brien will have a real live contender on his hands in the shape of Idaho. In the 4:10, the More Factor, a classy individual from the Dermot Weld stable, gives the number one vote over Plowboy, who is an each-way choice at a much bigger price. In the 4:40, I'll go for the bottom-weighted horse here, Time for Mabel, even though he's out the weights. Killian Leonard takes a valuable seven off, and he ran fourth in a good race at Dundalk last time out. And in the final race, Radar O'Reilly is the each-way choice in the concluding maiden.
There we are then. Thoughts of Andy Holding ahead of the Leopardstown card on Sunday, and you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. That Leopardstown card covered in full alongside the domestic action at Plumpton and Ludlow. There's also another Irish meeting over at Limerick. Thank you very much for that, Andy. You're off for a short break now, but we'll catch up when you're back from your holidays.
I mean, indeed, yeah. Should be week or so on Monday, Tuesday.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
All right, pal. See you now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.